Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to McChesney Unchained, a new show on the BSN Denver Podcast Network. Before we jump into it, we want you to know that this is a little different than our other shows. Matt McChesney is going to give you an uncensored take on what's going on in the football world, and if you have kids around, you may want to listen to this at another time. McChesney's opinions do not represent those of BSN Denver, but they are real, and they come from a CU legend who spent 6 years battling in the NFL trenches. Now, sit back and enjoy the show.
There's no money, there's no possessions, only obsession. I don't need that shit. Take my money, take my obsession.
And welcome to episode 55 of McChesney Unchained on the DNVR.com Denver Podcast Network. I'm your host, as always, Matt McChesney, coming to you from the lab here at 6-0 Studios, 6-0 Strength and Fitness, a.k.a. The Bridge. This is where the Dungeon family gets their grind on each and every day. I am Matt McChesney. To my left is the great Andrew Mason from the DNVR.com.
Mason's in the building!
Mason's in the house!
Hey! I can't get a better intro than that from YouTube guys, of course, at Mace Denver on Twitter, at thednvr.com. Of course, I'm writing stuff everywhere. They're actually writing a piece for tomorrow on one of the emerging young guys I like an awful lot. That's Devontae Harris.
Emerging.
In the secondary.
Emerging, as they say.
Ballin'. He is ballin'.
And that voice, and if you don't know, you're about to, is the GOAT, number 27 on the field, but number one in our hearts here in the Mile High City. The smiling assassin, Pig Suey, Mr. Steve Atwater.
What's up, fellas? Hey, I'm happy to be here. The great Mace, the great Mac McChesney. We're going to have a great time. My first time here at 6-0, man. Beautiful spot.
I'm so pumped to have you guys in studio. We've been talking about this for like literally 2 years, getting us over here in the podcast and grinding and going out. And this is a no-holds-barred, no-restrictions-say-whatever-you-want zone.
Yeah, right.
And that's what I love about the DNVR.com. Mm-hmm. Mace and I, we all used to be over at 760 before it went.
That's a very scientific way of describing it.
Yeah, I'd say. But the DNVR, I remember we do this top six film series, right?
Right.
And we actually just put out Broncos Turds last week. Go check it out. It's on thednvr.com. You can check it out, but the top six is up right now. And I went actually to 760 2 years ago, and I was like, I got a lab at the gym, and it's all set up. It's awesome, bro. Let me do it. And they were like, no. And I was like, oh, man. Man, you guys suck. All you say is no. But DNVR literally is their yes men, and I dig it.
Yeah, and it's their yes men in a good way, as in, I have this idea. Can we do it? The answer is yes. I mean,
yes.
They literally let me write a 2,000-word story about the last game that the Broncos had that ended in a tie.
Going into and you asked nicely, and they said?
Yes.
Yes.
Do it, Mace. We love it.
Do it.
I'm getting fired just thinking about it,
Mace. All right, so, Steve, before we go any further, I just want you to know, having you here, it means a lot. It means a whole lot because I grew up, I moved to Colorado when I was 10, okay, from Santa Cruz. The first game I ever went to, actually, was at Old Candlestick, okay, back in the day. My grandfather was a massive Niner fan, and he took me there. I watched Montana play and Rathman and Craig and all those boys. I fell in love with the Niners when I was young, but then we moved to Colorado, and I fell in love with CU and you and the Denver Broncos. And I remember sitting in the South Stands when I was a kid. Where's 2-7? Dad, I need a 2-7 jersey.
Wow.
And then when Big Al signed here, and he was my favorite player ever with the Buffs, and then I was in high school when you guys were winning those titles. I remember it was 96. I was a sophomore in high school. And when you guys beat Green Bay, we literally, there's 20 of us. It was the biggest celebration in history, man. It was crazy. Just a bunch of kids sprinting around the neighborhood going nuts. But to have you in here now full circle and episode 55 rolling and to consider you a good friend as well, Steve, it's pretty damn cool, bro. No, I'm glad you're here.
That is really cool, man. And that's the cool thing about, you know, us moving back to Colorado. I get those types of experiences all the time. You know, grown men come to me saying, "Steve, I remember when I was 2 years old." I'm like, damn, am I that old?
Well, speaking of old, I turned 38 yesterday, so happy birthday to the big guy. But see, you play Stanford this weekend for homecoming, and your daughter goes to Stanford,
yeah,
doesn't
she? Goes to Stanford, man.
Man, speaking of old.
It's going to be a tough game, my guy. I don't know if I can watch that one there.
Well, how are you? And you obviously played at Arkansas. They're having their own struggles, to say the least.
Yeah,
and
just a little bit.
Yeah.
Mace, if I remember correctly, you're
Mizzou in South Florida.
Missouri, that's right. South Florida in Mizzou. So,
a tough moment right now.
They were doing pretty well, though.
They were. Hit the speed bump against Vanderbilt and Kentucky there. Not been a good last few weeks for them. And USF is...
They don't have Drew Locke anymore.
We don't have him either.
Kelly Bryant's done all right, but not quite as explosive as Drew Locke. And USF's going through a bit of a rough patch, going through three quarterbacks this year. They're actually playing Temple on Thursday night college football.
The Owls.
Yes.
All right, so I guess I bring this up. I'm going to be up there for CU Stanford, obviously. Yeah. Bear Miller's true freshman starting left guard for Stanford, and he's been in this program since he was 14 and went to Eagle Crest, and Drake is their swing man. I went out there 2 weeks ago out to Palo Alto to watch them play and went out with Terry Nugent, Drake's father, and it was awesome. And I'm walking to get something to drink, and John Lynch is walking by me. And I stopped, and I'm like, "John, Matt McChesney, you know, I grew up in Denver, watched you play, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, "Oh, man, I know you. You run 6'0", right?" And I was like, "What?"
Whoa.
I was like, "John Lynch, man, you know what we're doing." So it kind of took me back. He's like, "Oh, you know, Garland's on our roster." He raves about the work you guys do out there and how much you've helped him on his transition. Ben Garland's gone 10 years now, guys. I remember Ben walking in after his second year with the Broncos, okay? I remember him walking in and saying to me, essentially, this. Okay? Ben Garland walks in. Is this 6'0"? Yeah. You're Ben Garland, right? Yeah, I'm Ben. Hi, Ben. Matt McChesney. Denver just moved me to guard, center. I heard you're the guy to help. That's me, sir. So we went 6 days a week for literally the entire time he was in Denver. The hardest working man I've ever been around. If you could package his work ethic, brother, we would not have any problems in this country.
Okay.
And so he moves. He ends up, you know, playing for the Broncos. He started two preseason games, if I remember correctly.
That, yep.
And then they cut him out of the blue. And he ended up going to Atlanta. And he was such a staple of consistency at Atlanta. He played both ways. He had that sack safety in the playoff game against Russell Wilson a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Lynch brought this up with Ben. He goes, "He's the most consistent guy on our roster. He knows everything. And you can plug and play him anywhere. We could play him at nose tackle if we had to." And that right there, number one, John knew who I was. And that it really hit home. Because, to be honest with you, in the business we're in, that resonated.
Yeah.
But number two, for them to say that, number one, it's Ben. He's the reason. But if I had anything to do with that, just a little bit of sprinkle, a little crazy sprinkle,
yeah,
and here's how you transition and You're not trying to be aggressive anymore. We got to be patient, pick our spots, because now you're on offense. Now you know the snap count. Now you know the angles. It's pretty damn cool to hear that kind of feedback from a GM out of the blue, talking about a guy in Ben Garland who should have been here and never left.
Yeah.
So when we go full circle talking about college first before we dive into the NFL, daughter goes to Stanford, Missouri, CU, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. 120 D1 teams, 60 Power Fives, plus BYU and Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Why only four teams? I get it. The rankings are out. Who cares? Penn State and Ohio State play next week. LSU and Alabama play this week. Why not eight teams? Why not 12 teams? Why not 16 teams? I mean,
I'm in favor of 24.
Why not 24? I hate this like excuse of they have school. Or they can't handle it. The 1AA kids can handle it, exactly. But the Division I players can't?
FCS has a 24-team playoff. And the reason, part of why I settle on 24 is you've got 120-some FBS schools. So proportionally, it's pretty close to the same as 68 in the basketball tournament. In the basketball, the NCAA basketball tournament,
is
March
awesome.
Madness, in my opinion, it is the best sporting event in the country.
I don't even watch college basketball. I could give a frick, it is incredible.
But yes, exactly. It brings everybody in.
So watch my language on my own show just for you.
But you get it.
I've heard a few.
I know.
He's heard everything.
I'm just fucking with you, Steve.
Hey, he's heard me during commercials when I've been pissed.
You've never cursed in your life. What the fuck are you talking about?
Mike, boom. So, I say 24, and then this gets the whole Power Five, Group of Five in. Every conference winner gets in plus 10 at large.
Well,
and I ask you this, Matt.
Yeah.
The year that CU had its breakthrough, if there had been a playoff.
In 16?
In 2016, yep. If there had been a playoff that year, they would have been, I believe,
probably
like the 9 seed.
Yeah, something like that.
Or 10 seed. And the way I would do it is that first round would be the top eight get byes, 9 through 24 playing, kind of like, and they do it, I think that's how they do it in FCS. And CU would have played Western Kentucky, but my idea is that first round's on a campus site. So exciting? Going down to the Alamo Bowl or Folsom Field two nights before Christmas for a playoff game?
That would be incredible. And look. If we're going to talk about name, image, and likeness, this is more revenue for the kids. And Steve,
the only losers are the bowl cartels.
Well, I think everyone loses with name, image, and likeness, honestly. I think it's Well, the bowls, maybe the bowl games could end up being second and third round sites.
Exactly.
There's always a way to skin the cat. That's my point.
You'd lose, like, you'd keep the Rose Bowl and the Orange Bowl. You'd lose, the Texas Bowl.
Big deal.
Yeah,
So
the Gasparilla Bowl.
I guess my point is, if we're going to pay these kids and there's going to be all this money floating around, the more games, the better, right?
More money.
That's what you would assume. But why can't, if we're going to sit here and talk about, and I'm going to bring this up about the SEC, okay, and try and defend your conference here. I would much rather see the SEC maybe, or we cut out the non-conference Townsends and, you know, like
the easy game,
Arkansas State or whatever in November.
Exhibition
like,
game.
Yeah, like the SEC only plays 8 conference games. The Pac-12 plays 9. No one has the same amount of teams in their conference. In order for me to get behind a universal rule for everybody, doesn't everyone have to like play by the same rules? Shouldn't we have the same number of teams as each conference? Shouldn't they be playing by the same rules essentially? Like they've got to even this out a little bit in order for everybody to get an equal piece of the pie if they're going to do name, image, and likeness and they're going to start paying these kids.
Well, I'm anxious, yeah, that's going to all work out anyway.
Me too.
What is it going to look like?
How would you feel about a college football players union? Like why can't they do that? Why?
Because the guys graduate too much. The turnover is too. It's too much turnover there. I mean,
there's a ton of turnover in the NFL as well, and I'm still part of the union and still get my paperwork just like you do, Steve.
Well, maybe you could start it with having the NFLPA involved in helping create a union.
The players don't have any rights in college, yes. And they're missing out on a ton of revenue. And I have a feeling in 40 years from now, when I'm dead and gone, people are going to look back at this and be like, people were nuts. Why'd they play for free?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'd like to see more teams in the college football playoff. The playoffs essentially start Saturday. Alabama and LSU are playing a playoff game. So we'll see how that goes.
They're playing a playoff game, but if one of them only drops to 5 and then you have...
And there's the problem.
Clemson loses a game. I mean, Clemson's well-positioned. They can, even though they're
Clemson's
fifth,
getting in, bro.
They control their own
bro,
fate.
If Clemson goes undefeated, they're getting in. There's no way they're keeping the national champion out.
I mean, they nearly lost North Carolina. So I'm just saying there may be a hiccup in there.
Well, I don't look, and I don't care about that either. The more teams you put in as well, you can afford to lose a game. I don't necessarily think a champion has to be perfect.
Well, that's...
I like champions that overcome adversity.
And also, I mean, in the NFL, I mean, you've had champions that have lost six or seven games.
9-7.
So let me ask a question.
Didn't mean they weren't deserving of the title?
I'm sure this has been thought of before. Why hasn't it been done?
Money and control, good old boys network. It's been a certain way for so long.
Everyone agrees that there's still more money out there.
Oh, yeah. Most people agree, and I'd say if you got people in a room, 99 out of 100 would say the kids need to be paid and they should play more games and they should invest in better football games and shouldn't play crap non-conference teams, but the NCAA happens to be that one, and they don't care. And as long as they have this quote unquote power, they're going to abuse it like they always have. Mm-hmm. They were abusing it when you were in college. They abused it when I was in college because they brainwashed everybody. And look, the business I do now at 6-0, this is College Football Recruiting Central. That board right over there, everybody you see in green that's a green square around them,
yeah.
Every single one of those kids are offered out of this room, out of the state of Colorado. Already. That's half the damn board already, right? So that's my point. Those kids, and look, no one's trying to say free school isn't awesome. It's incredibly awesome. You invest in yourself in this room, Drake Nugent and Bear Miller scholarship checks at Stanford when they signed last year were $83,000 a year. Mm-hmm. So invest in yourself now and you'll go to school for free. That's awesome. My point is this. The NCAA has brainwashed all of us to think that amount is somehow equal to the amount that you would get if it was chopped up correctly. Mm-hmm. For the revenue that the NFL players get from jerseys and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's not a stipend check. That's a number that's been negotiated that can go up or down.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be for the college athletes. And Steve, look, man. I truly believe this wholeheartedly. I think if you taught guys early how to be professional with their money in college, they had to pay for their own classes, they had to balance their own checkbook, they had to figure out how to be financially literate, you would have less guys in the NFL that blow all their damn money.
It's possible.
Definitely possible. That's for sure.
There's going to be some broke people in college.
Well, then there's another learning experience, right? But they're already broke.
That's the way I was. Man, I didn't have, you know.
Well, did you leave early from for you played your 4 years? Okay. Do you think it would play 5 years? I played 5 as well. Do you think more guys would stay in school if they didn't have to chase checks? I do.
No, because the amount of money that you're gonna make in college still pales in comparison to what you can make in the NFL.
If
you stick and the possibility of getting injured, guys. Sit out bowl games, not because they're afraid they may get injured. So I think, I don't think that part's going to change. If they have an opportunity to go, they're going to jump ship.
Well, there's another reason to dump the whole bowl system.
Well, maybe a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round guy stays then instead of chasing the check as a junior.
Absolutely.
So I guess in each individual circumstance, it's going to differ. That's for sure. All right, cool. I can get with that. All right, we'll see what happens. So the Buffs, Stanford this weekend. I'm going to be up there on the sideline on Saturday. And yesterday, actually, I went up to Boulder and I did the Inside the Zone podcast with Coach Tucker and Marks Johnson.
Okay.
And it was fire, man. It was so fun. Great show. Phil Lindsay's on this week for CU Stanford. And then I'll be on next week for CU Washington. And it was pretty kick-ass. So I think they got the right guy up there. I think Coach Tucker is the right dude. He's real. I like that dude a lot, man. So I really think good things are happening up in Boulder. So we'll see what happens.
Look at his background. Look at the fact that he's worked with
putting out dudes.
Look at the fact that, I mean, going all the way back to the University of Wisconsin, he's got the right DNA.
Yeah.
In him.
And kids like him.
He's learned. And, yeah, he relates to everybody.
Kids like him. Dude. You know, we talked about his Jordan collection, and like he committed one of our guys in here, Keaton Dudley at Palmer Ridge, like a nickel corner safety returner, slot receiver kid, a real good player. He committed up there 2 weeks ago, and I went up with his family and was part of it. And you can just tell that Mel's gotten a relationship with his guys that's different than some of the other coaches that I call them used car salesmen. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for any used car salesman crap today. I need a relationship with the ball coach.
Yeah, Ben, and players who know that their coach has a relationship with them and cares about
cares.
Them, they will go out, they will lay it on the line for you. But if they get an inkling that you just want them for football,
out.
Yeah, it's over.
And that's the way it is in the league, too. That's like even more so in the NFL because the guys have money and they can stand up for themselves. There's very rarely do you see a college kid standing up for himself that's not going to be a first rounder. In the league, man, some of the conversations I would hear in the league would, like when I was in my rookie year, and they signed Ty Law to the Jets, and Ty like would sit in the back and coach would say, Donnie Henderson would say something, hey, Ty, you got that? And he's like, nah. And I'm like, yes, sir, Mr. Henderson, sir. Right, exactly. And Ty's like, I got it, whatever. He's going to cut me? I don't think so. What? So Donnie, shut up, Donnie.
He saw a video with Deion Sanders. They were trying to get him to come into a meeting. He was on his cell phone talking to someone else. Wait, but I've been here a minute.
I'll be in when I get in. So it's like the great Herm Edwards told me, we're all equal, but we damn sure ain't the same.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so moving on. Going towards the NFL, remember all of our college football talk, and especially your Colorado Golden Buffaloes, are brought to you by our good friends at 10thanduni.com. I'm actually rocking one of their hats right now. It's clean fit, old school Colorado cursive. They only do CU gear, and they do it right. Go to 10thanduni.com, use the promo code BUFFCLUB, and they'll get you hooked up. All right, so moving forward. National Football League. I don't like diving into what everyone did in the NFL. The Thursday night game tonight should be
fun,
interesting, rivalry. Competitive.
Yeah,
Chargers Raiders.
Yeah.
Last Chargers Raiders game in Oakland.
I think that there definitely could be some batteries flying around if I know my Raiders. So the Raiders, I think the Raiders are showing me something, man. I didn't expect them to be as competitive as they are. Carr's really playing well under Gruden, and they seem to like rally the troops around everybody picking them to suck and everyone abandoning them from a player perspective.
You know that, but I mean, when I look at Hard Knocks earlier this year, John Gruden does things to get those guys fired up.
He does. You know, they seem to really like that guy.
Yeah, he's got emotion, he's got charisma, and the guys like that.
So, I guess the question is, can you get three AFC teams out of the West? Because the winner of this game, the Raiders are sitting at 500, right? And the Chargers are 4-5.
4-5.
So you got a 5-4 Raider team or a 5-5 Charger team. And then I'm assuming the Chiefs are still in line to win the West. But if I'm the Broncos, they were 6-6 last year at one point and then nosedived. Why can't they be 6-6 again and take off this year and learn from it? So that's the motivation in the room for the Broncos when we go full circle on the Raiders and Chargers tonight. Great. They're going to play. At least we'll know who won and who lost moving into the weekend. The Broncos and their bye week this weekend, I hope that guys are not just taking the opportunity just to drink and party and go to Vegas.
Like, they wouldn't do that. Our guys don't drink a lot.
I think this team under Brandon Allen, and I know I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, and Pig Suey, Steve. I
mean, your
Arkansas guy stepped up.
He did.
When we're looking at the AFC West and the Denver Broncos moving forward, I'm going to ask both of you. Mace, you can go first. Mm-hmm. Is this Bronco team, did they learn from their mistakes last year, and are they mature enough to attack the next half of the season the right way and support this quarterback the way we saw him supported on Sunday, because that was a totally different football team?
Well, I think the team will support him. I think I want to see more game plans there tailored to supporting that quarterback. I'll give Rich Gangrello a lot of credit for understanding what he had with Brandon Allen, what he was ready to do, and giving him a game plan that he could execute. Now, that being said,
You thought the game plan changed? I didn't think the game plan changed at all. I thought it was the same stuff Flacco was running. It looked like Allen could actually run it.
Well, for one thing, you're 21 yards out from the end zone, and you're giving Cortland Sutton the 50-50 ball. I love seeing that. Even though, could the throw have been better? Yes, but it's a testament to Courtland Sutton that it's inside, not the best ball. He still makes a play on the ball. That shows me, okay, take more chances with Courtland Sutton in one-on-one coverage. And this is more just big picture rather than just Brandon Allen. I want to see Noah Fant in the flat like he was on that 75-yard play.
In the flat? What do you mean?
Left flat, 10, like 5 to 10 yards up. It's not a screen pass.
Remember, Fant ran a crossing route from across the field.
Yeah.
The problem with crossing routes is you have to protect.
And it almost blew up.
And it worked.
Almost blew up, yeah, because it's a watch-out block. Watch out, Brandon!
Yeah, I mean, it's a great look. I tip my cap to Brandon Allen for getting that ball away when he's getting drilled by Olivier Vernon. That shows a lot about his composure.
And look, absolutely, there's definitely a composure thing with Brandon Allen I like. He looks like he was ready for his opportunity, and I'm telling you, young guys that haven't played in a while, when your opportunity comes, a lot of them aren't ready for it. Yeah. So I'm glad he was. I will say this, though. Okay, the football team played differently with Brandon Allen under center than they did with Joe Flacco.
Why do you think that was?
And I don't know. I was just getting ready to ask you this question.
Yeah.
So this is how I equate it. You guys won a Super Bowl in 97, okay, as an underdog. Or 98, right? Boy. 97. 98, you went in and you won 14 in a row, right?
Yeah.
Then you were far from the underdog at that point. But when John went out, okay, you guys were playing hard and well and undefeated when he went out that second run, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bubby came in. There was a difference in the team. It's like everybody knew they had to support the backup, but he brought like this juice and jive and
swagger,
that swagger. And I feel like it's a totally different situation. I'm not saying the teams are the same. But Flacco is an established vet, and you know what you're going to get with him, and it's businesslike. And I'm not saying he doesn't care or he didn't do a good job. But when Allen came in, everybody's rose their game and supported too. And it looked like everybody was having fun on Sunday, but man.
You know what? The one thing that I've always said is that football is an emotional game. And when you get guys in that mindset to where they're in the zone, and they're playing emotional. Their emotions are involved with it. And they can still think. You know, they're not so much in a frenzy to where, you know, they can't think. But when guys are fired up, ready to play, honed in, they play much better than when you rolled out of bed. Okay, I'm going to go over and play this game today.
But
and,
don't you think guys would be jived up to play with Joe?
No. I'm not saying that it's Joe. I'm just saying, in general, when guys are more fired up, they play better.
So I guess the one of the differences
and they
is
were hyped up,
Emmanuel's gone and Flacco's on the bench. And those are two vets that have big voices in the locker room that were no longer there. And the team I saw Sunday looked like a football team that was playing free and loose and in the run. They didn't look like a team that's losing and out of it. I think that this group, behind closed doors, I really think that there's a confidence with them. And I would not be surprised at all if they go on a run. You can't sit here and tell me that Minnesota, regardless of how good they are, is unbeatable. And give me a break, man. Buffalo
was bad last year.
Buffalo was terrible last year.
And trucked them.
Yeah.
They got a great defense, too.
So do we.
Yeah, we do.
So do the Broncos.
I know.
It keeps it close. It means that there's a chance in these two games to get it down to where one possession can win or lose you the game.
Am I drinking the Kool-Aid here too much, though, with Brandon Allen? I mean, he's setting me up for a huge failure if he goes out in Peterman's.
There's something to Brandon Allen. Dog. I like that. There's something to Brandon Allen.
It's Peterman,
better,
Steve.
I love that. The gold standard for bad quarterbacking.
It's Peterman.
Nathan Peterman.
Yeah. What were you doing this weekend, man? I Petermaned.
But Brandon Allen, he may not be Joe Flacco in terms of arm talent, all that, but it's possible. And this is sort of just my own observation, looking at how guys were interacting with him, looking at how the quarterback was talking to other guys. Brandon Allen may be a better leader for where this team is going as far as it's a younger core developing new leaders.
Do you guys need to see Locke?
I would like to see Locke.
Even if?
Well, if Brandon Allen... That's the dilemma. No, if Brandon Allen plays well in the next couple of games, I think maybe you push Drew Locke out to week 16 when the odds are...
How are you going to bench somebody that's showing progression in winning football games?
Here's a potential plan that I've heard kicked around. The idea that you're eliminated before week 16 and then you do what the Houston Oilers did with Steve McNair back in his first couple of seasons. We're out of it. We're going to give the kid a couple of games here, see how far he's come that year.
I'm cool with that, but Allen's a kid too. Sitting a vet.
Yeah.
I'd like to see where Brandon Allen can go at the same time. I watched every snap that he had in four preseasons. I think there's a ceiling to Brandon Allen.
Hey, man.
There's a ceiling to everybody. There's damn sure ceiling with Locke.
But Drew Locke's ceiling is higher than Brandon Allen.
But exactly. Time out.
He always goes to Tom Brady.
I know he does.
Always.
I know.
He's been doing this
for 2 years. It's right, though. Yeah. Allen's a six-rounder, too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying this.
Brady went in and won a game. Everybody like, man, we got to get another quarterback.
It's crap. Let's get Drew back. There were people clamoring for Drew to start the Super Bowl.
Look, I'll tell you right now. If let's play this out over the next five games. If the Broncos go 4-1 in those five, which takes them to 5-1 with Brandon Allen.
You can't bench him.
Then he is going to play the last two games.
And he should.
Because they'll still be in it. They'll be 7-7. They might be in the playoff.
Look, man, with the new CBA.
But hold on. But with that, though, are you doing anything quarterback-wise in the draft next year?
I'm not.
I'm still taking a long, hard look at guys.
I can't. You can't. Look, and I guess that's the next question here. Is the quarterback controversy, it could still be Flacco, too, guys. They restructured his contract. Yeah. Why get rid of him if you don't have to?
Well, that was also an accounting thing where if you factor in dead money, it basically is the same next year.
I think the quarterback room next year, guys, is going to be Flacco, Locke, Brandon Allen, and Rippon.
Four?
I think that's the four quarterbacks in the room and to start training camp, and they'll battle for the third spot. And if they can get rid of Flacco during training camp, they'll find a way to trade him. If Brandon Allen and Locke are fighting for the job, and if not, they'll start Joe and they'll roll. And look, people are going to be pissed off about that. But again, man, I still think John thinks he's in win now mode. I do. And judging by what I see on defense and how good they're playing recently, I think they have to re-sign Justin Simmons. Please, the best strong safety I've ever seen play football in my life is Justin Simmons, re-signable, and should he be the staple of consistency for the Broncos moving forward?
I definitely think he should be re-signed, and, you know, there are whispers out there that, you know, is being worked on. I don't know.
They need to get that done, though, right?
If they get one re-signing done between now and week 17, it'll be Justin Simmons.
What about McGovern? And I'm biased because I work with Connor, but I think Connor's, regardless of all, I think there's a lot of people in the media out there. Like yesterday, I almost crashed my car when I heard this. I heard a media member X say, well, I think Derek Wolfe is having a subpar year, almost a bad year, and he's not using his hands well. And I'm watching Derek Wolfe like an all-pro season at three technique dominating people.
This is the best
in pass rush, straight arm, flat backing people from Tennessee, straight lock and shed, TFLs. He actually dominated the Bear game. So the Colt game, he killed it the other day. That's lazy, lazy analytic work. So my point is this. Simmons needs to be re-signed. A lot of people are giving 60 hate because of the line struggles. But I think the struggles is the left tackle, guys. And I hate that it's let's not pick on Garrett, but the two tackles have been bad.
Come on, hold up, man. You can honestly say that Connor's one of the best offensive linemen right now.
Can I say he is one of them? Absolutely. Yeah. I think on this squad right now, I think Reisner's your best offensive lineman, which is not a good thing if your rookie's the best player, but it's good for him. It's just not good for us. I think Connor needs to be re-signed at center, or you're going to just develop somebody for someone else.
Do you think Connor's playing as good as
Paradis?
Yeah, Matt Paradis.
No, not yet. But
he's only done this for a little while.
But I will say this. This is why I and I am biased here because I work with McGovern constantly. He's always in the room. But that's why. Because he makes a mistake and goes to fix it. He can play both guards and center. All we're going to do is either spend the money on someone that doesn't know our system and hasn't put in the work, or draft someone and have to teach them how to play the position again and build around him for the future when you've already developed him. And Connor went from a fifth rounder and not playing to walked in here after his rookie year and we started going to work and he developed into their sixth man and then he developed into a starter at guard and then he started at the other guard and then center and now he's a starting center. And this is their first, this is his first opportunity to start a full season at the position. And with him and his work ethic, I truly believe that he can be your mainstay there for years to come. And I do believe this, guys. I think when Ron moves on, because it's just a matter of time before Leary's gone, in my opinion.
Although he's done yeoman's work this year.
He's done pretty good, and he's been beat up. He's been really beat up.
The fact that he's been out
there. He's such a tough son of a bitch, man. I got so much respect for Leary and how he plays and prepares. But 72 is a problem, guys. And ignoring the problem doesn't make it go away. And I don't understand how he's still in the field. And Juwan James, when he comes back, I need to see if he can play left tackle because Garrett Bowles can't be here anymore. He can't do it. I'm losing respect for the organization, guys.
I want to ask you guys both as players.
You never played with somebody that was that much of a liability, Steve.
And this is the thing. If a guy keeps making the same mistakes over and over but doesn't lose his job, what does that do in the locker room? Because I've heard players
even my wife brought it up. Like, how does this guy keep playing?
Yeah.
She doesn't know anything about football. She doesn't care, which is why I love her so much. And it's how does this guy keep playing? It seems like the rules are different for him.
Wow.
If any one of us failed the way he's failing, the same things
happen. I mean, hell, bro. At Orange and Blue, I offended one person and they jumped out of the bushes and fired me for it. Hey, Matt, I need your pass back. I'm going in to do my show. Not today, you're not. Oh, I didn't know you were dressing up as Batman today. I'm not trying to badmouth the kid, but come on.
Are you giving credence to Pro Football Focus?
It's a tool.
I will say this. When it comes to offensive line and defensive line grades, this is how I feel about it. We play 100 plays, okay? For 98 of those plays, Garrett grades out at 98%, and he's kicking the hell out of somebody, and he does his job because that's all really offensive linemen have to do is their job. It's hard to get pluses, okay? But the other two plays, okay, are five plays, okay, are three holding penalties, which I've seen him have five in one game, which is negative 30 yards, which he can't make up for because he's an offensive lineman. He can't go get a pick. He can't get a sack. He can't bust a run. He has no control over it. He's just a lineman. So that 10 yards is compounded because you lose the yardage and the play. Number two, let's say the other two plays are strip sacks, which I've seen him do as well. And then the game is ruined or turned on those two plays. Well, Garrett just graded out at 95%, Steve. But the five plays he screwed up on are monumentally, catastrophically terrible. Consequently, If I'm playing three technique and my five plays are those five, I get three holding penalties called on me and then I have two strip sacks, but my other 95 plays, I'm out of my gap and they're seaming me and they go for 350 yards rushing. Well, I just graded out at 5%, but everybody's going to think I'm the shit because I just got 2.5 sacks and a strip sack and three holding penalties called on my pressure, but the other 95 plays, I'm getting beat like a Cherokee drum. That's bad. And that's the way I look at this right now. And the repetitive mistakes, Brother Steve, you can't tell me that the repetitive mistakes are acceptable like this, bro.
Well,
what do we do about this? Because I know you, and I know the way you think about the Broncos, and I don't like throwing people under the bus, but I don't know how to...
It's not a matter of, for me, it's not a matter of throwing people under the bus.
I don't know how to sugarcoat this anymore.
I've seen Garrett play good football. Now, the whole penalties... Nobody likes those. Garrett doesn't like them.
Where's the good football been, bro?
You haven't seen any good football?
No, dude. I've watched every snap.
So you can tell me that when you turn on the film that...
Do I think he's improved?
You watch Garrett Bowles and you watch Connor McGovern. Who do you think plays better?
I think McGovern's had a way better year than Bowles. Okay. But at the same time, they're playing totally different positions.
I know two different positions.
Connor always has help. Connor always has help. Garrett rarely has help unless they're sliding to him.
Yeah, our friend Justin Adams put out that play at the end of the game.
Kyrie, my boy. Said,
oh, no,
I guess Elijah and Garrett would be a better comparison because they're both playing tackle. Elijah struggled as well. He struggled immensely. He so both definitely. Guys have struggled. But, it's get your piece in, Mace. Well, sorry.
Justin Adams, our friend from our friend in
Stacey, on point like Stacey Adams, son. Yeah. His name is Stacey Adams.
Stacey Adams.
He showed a play at the end of the game. It was the Philip Lindsay Wildcat snap. Said, "Hey, look, Garrett Bowles blocks two guys." There's no effort from the Browns on that play. They've quit.
And look, I'm
not saying Garrett can't be good.
I'm not saying that he doesn't try. My problem with the situation is the repetitive nature of the mistakes, and then him. The two things that have really bothered me this year more than anything else are after the game when he said, "I don't agree with the refs. I feel like they have an agenda." No, it's the same holding penalty for you that it is for everyone else. And then in the Kansas City game where he got his ass kicked and got a holding penalty on a national TV, did this to the ref. That is, it's very concerning to me because I don't feel as if he's putting in the mental work to be successful. And it sucks when you have to question someone's mental work. I feel like I'm questioning Paxton Lynch.
What other mental work can he put in? What do you mean?
I'm saying changing up the way he dictates his pass sets to the defensive players. A wide nine technique and a tight five technique should not have the same set pattern. Mm-hmm. Your hand shouldn't be the same all the time. He shouldn't be dropping his outside foot consistently. So he doesn't understand the angles of football.
Do you think Mike Munchak isn't teaching him that?
No, I know he is. That's my issue.
That's the problem.
Steve.
It's not that he. That's my problem.
I know damn well Mike's teaching him it. I know Coop's teaching him it. I think that Garrett thinks he's right. I swear to God, I do. And it sounds crazy, doesn't it? And I agree. It sounds nuts. I'm having a problem equating it in my head and rationalizing it.
Well, it's either that or he's hearing it, but when he's getting out there in the game, he's reverting to every bad habit he's had before.
And that's he's definitely improving. No one's saying he's not improving. I'm saying there's zero consistency. And at that position, the only thing we can bank on is consistency. And once you've raised your game to a level where Garrett Bowles shows me, if he can play that well against, who did they play after Jacksonville?
That was the Chargers.
They played he played that well against Bosa?
Bosa and Ingram, yeah.
And Ingram, and didn't have a holding penalty, didn't give up pressure, didn't give up a sack, was really, really good the whole game, and Flacco was clean. When you show me that, potentially, and then the next game you revert to the same guy we saw last year and the year before, that's my issue, is I don't care how you get it done, but you've got to stop with the repetitive mistakes because it's going to cost him his job.
So
regardless of what we think.
So what are you proposing? Get rid of him?
Yes, he's got to go. Number one, they just don't re-sign him. His option's up.
You pass on the fifth-year option, and then, but what do you do next year? Do you just let him go, or do you give him a chance to fight for a depth spot?
No, he's gone. 2020? There's no other position for him.
I don't see that, man. I don't see it.
It depends on where they're drafting, in my opinion. You can't move him to a different spot. You just invested all this money in James. I'd like to think that they have to make decisions on Leary, McGovern, and Elijah, right?
Right.
And in my personal opinion, the Wirfs kid from Iowa seems like a good player, but it's such a crapshoot with the young guys because the development is something I talk about with my staff in here all the time. And all the guys we were talking to this morning, all the ex-pros that don't have a job right now that are in here working for one, from Casey Tucker, who played at Stanford and Arizona State as a grad transfer and then was with the Eagles, to Big Seo, who's just a lack of development and didn't really get any guidance and was with the Saints, to Big Rocky, who's going to BYU. It's a developmental problem. It's not a draft and stick. You're not going to do that with offensive and defensive linemen anymore. Pass rushers, maybe. They can go in and be really athletic. You know, Saquon Barkley could come in and be super explosive and be a guy. But with offensive linemen, especially coming from spreads, and then you're asking them to come in and conform to a pro-style West Coast smash mouth, deuce block, ace block, trade block, cat, Terry Talley, Roger Louie. It's a ton of info.
It's why my heart breaks a little every time I watch the Saints and see what Ryan Ramczyk does. Because I watched him at Wisconsin,
but
too.
But Breeze and Peyton protect him.
Yeah.
Because the ball's gone and the calls are set up.
But he was
mauling
people at Wisconsin, too. I mean, you could see it even then.
Well, that's true, but so was Garrett. Garrett kicked the hell out of people at Utah.
He was also a leading college football and holding.
That's also true as well. Do I want to just give up on the kid? I don't mean to make it personal, but it's that if he wasn't a first-round draft pick, he would have been gone already.
It's like Tom Donahoe, the old Steelers GM, said, get him good or get him gone.
And I don't know the answer on where we go. Last year, when Trent Brown was available and the Broncos didn't go after him, I was devastated internally because that guy...
Last year, they weren't getting rid of Trent Brown anyway.
Well,
they could have got rid of him this year. They didn't.
That's my point. They didn't go after him. So,
no, but the Redskins would have given him up.
No. That's
Trent Williams.
Trent Brown's the monster from New England.
And if you want to go ask about Trent Brown,
Von Miller thinks he's the best player ever.
Toughest guy I've ever seen.
Best player he's ever played against. So that's really what resonated with me. And then I watched him last year.
He's a beast.
I have the All-22 here, so... We get every clip just like they're watching it in the film room, which I dig. And I've just watched the All-22, the Patriot playoff games last year. And Trent Brown, in my opinion, he was the MVP of the playoffs and Super Bowl. He should have won the Super Bowl MVP. He was killing people in that game.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just get a couple hypotheticals out here, okay? When we're talking about the quarterback position moving forward for your Denver Broncos, just think about these names as I say them. Joe Flacco, Cam Newton, Teddy Bridgewater, Andy Dalton, Nick Mullins, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jake Fromm. Those names I just threw out.
And that's not even all of them.
That's not even all. It's not close to all of them. First name that really hits you and goes, wow, that could be a possibility. Tom Brady's mine, but obviously I think that's a huge hypothetical, but so is Peyton Manning.
How's it a possibility?
Contract's up.
Come on, man. Hey, look, I can't believe it unless Peyton Manning also came here.
You
know the goat not leaving.
I would never leave either, but crazier things have happened in Denver.
No, it's not happening.
Crazier things have happened. That's all I'm saying. There's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear it then, and that's what I'm looking for. How about Matt Ryan? Because if Atlanta is one and whatever and they want to restart, Matt Ryan could be on the trade block.
They could restart, but here's an interesting possibility. I think Atlanta probably goes in the
Georgia guy, right?
Yeah. Atlanta's probably going in the Josh McDaniels direction.
To hire Josh?
Yes. Mm. Thomas Dimitroff and Josh go back
to
the
Patriots. Think they'll keep Matt and roll?
Or here's an idea. They trade Matt Ryan. They bring in Tom Brady.
Stop.
And they draft the quarterback of the
team. Stop it! Stop! You're full of shit, man.
No, the one thing about Tom Brady, if he leaves, is he going to want to go to some place where he's got some familiarity with coaches and the scheme? Or is he going to want to start over?
No, he wants to go win. If he leaves.
He's not going to win in Atlanta, man.
He's not going to go anywhere, first of all.
Exactly.
If Brady does leave, I don't think he will. If he does, I think he goes to Tennessee to play with his good buddy Mike Brown.
You just said he's going to Atlanta.
No, I'm just saying it's another possibility. I know. But I don't think Denver's a possibility. A. B. Admittedly, I do my number crunching thing.
Oh, that's you. You are Mr. Analytics.
There is... It's not evident, but if you really dive into his production, there is a steady decline from 2016 to 2019 across the board with him. Yes.
It should be. He's 40.
He's 70.
But here's the point. If you sign Tom Brady, what are you getting if he doesn't arrest that decline? And what are the chances of a 43-year-old quarterback turning that in the other direction?
Zero.
Yeah, the odds are...
We are not signing Tom Brady.
Facts!
If they sign Tom Brady and his pace continues, his production is like Joe Flacco.
Oh, my God. That's blasphemy.
I'm sorry, but
okay. So how about the Cam Newton thing then? Because people are sitting here throwing Cam's around Denver right now.
Not now, man.
You know what though? The thing with Cam is it's sort of the Peyton Manning thing because it's about the health. It's not a question of whether Cam is good enough when healthy, but have the injuries caught up to him to where he's never going to be.
I don't want to recycle anymore. I guess that's my point.
I want
Allen, Locke, Rippon, Fromm, Herbert, Tua. And you know what? This is the way I feel about it. And tell me if I'm crazy. But the one that John says, I want that guy, let's pick the other one. So if John's like, I want Herbert, I think we should pick Fromm. And if he says, I want Fromm, I think we should pick Herbert. And if he says, I want Tua, I think we should pick somebody else.
I don't agree with that.
The Jake Eason from Washington, if he comes out, he may be a good pick as well.
You'll see Joe Burrow on Saturday for LSU.
Okay, so here's my question about Joe Burrow, okay? And I guess it goes full circle to the recruit question too because, like, for example, I worked with this kid named Cole Taylor.
Right.
Cole goes to Grand Junction Central on the other side of the Rockies. He's 6'7", 260, and runs a 4.65, jumps through the roof. Before he started working with me on the distance program here at 6-0, he had no offers and nobody was looking at him. And after I signed him up and started pushing his tape, the whole time he was 6'7", 260 and ran well. Now he's going to LSU. He's got 30 offers since he started with me. Now, Joe Burrow last year was still a good player. He was just in a bad system. And no one thought he could play. And everyone's saying he was a bum and they should bring in an athlete and get rid of him. And now, because of the system, he's a first-round draft pick. So this is one of the reasons why I think the draft is so damn ridiculous. Like, it is just absolutely unequivocally ridiculous because, with the exception of Von Miller, some of the best players in Bronco history and on this team currently are undrafted or late rounders. The whole damn team that you played on, 97, 98, half the damn team was undrafted. That's the league.
That's where the personnel guys make their money. It's not with the first, second,
round. It's not. The late rounders
to undrafted guys, those are all scouts. Yep. And the Broncos have one of the, for all that's gone wrong with the Broncos, they have one of the best scouting departments in the NFL.
Why don't they listen to the scouts more when it comes to the big dogs?
That's a good question.
Why don't those guys have the same, is it ego driven at the top? Because the top picks don't pan out the same way the later round guys do. That's why. The undrafted cats, the Johnsons and Lindsays and Columbuses and Lepsises and God knows who else. The Glenn Cadrezas and Montavasas and guys like that are all late rounder gems that they find. That's why. Rod Smith. So it's. Look, do I think Mr. Elway deserves to pull himself out of this hole? Damn straight I do. Do I think he's the right guy for the job? Absolutely I do. Every time the Broncos have been good, won a Super Bowl, that man's involved, and he needs to stay involved. I would like to think that the Broncos have the chance to turn it around now. I do believe this, guys. Tell me, am I crazy to believe that coming back from the bye, riding this wave, they can beat Minnesota, beat Buffalo, come home and play a really hard-fought, tight game against the Chargers, and then all of a sudden, we are sitting there at 6-6, right?
6-6.
6-6, ready to go.
Crazy things have happened.
It happened last year. So, do you see that same kind of team here, 2-7? Do you see that same kind of team, Mace? Or am I crazy?
I wouldn't say that they win these next three games. When I say I see a light at the end of the tunnel, I'm thinking I see this team building toward being a playoff team next year. I can see them getting there. But a key is keep as much of this defense together as possible, upgrade left tackle, re-sign McGovern. I'm huge on that. I'm right there with you on that. And one way or another, you've got to find the quarterback, a young quarterback, a cost-controlled quarterback that can be your long-term answer. And if you look, you've got some good skill guys. You got Phil. You got Cortland looking like a wide receiver one.
That guy can play, man. That kid's special.
Bayshon still hadn't got a start.
Right. Noah Fant has shown flashes. If they use him right, it's there with him to make plays. So you have some offensive playmakers. The D, I think, is going to be top three next year.
Is Wolf an unrestricted free agent?
Yeah, but you got to re-sign
him. Is Harris an unrestricted free agent?
Yes. My piece posted.
We bring those guys back. We bring back those two older players, right?
I'm just saying exactly what I wrote after the Browns game on Sunday because I had a moment of clarity. Re-sign Wolf, re-sign Simmons, re-sign Chris Harris Jr. And yeah, you're spending heavily on the D, but if you got the cost-controlled quarterback and the right young quarterback, that's how it works. It's what Seattle did with Russell Wilson.
So
they had the D,
guys,
they had the quarterback.
Andrew Mason, Steve Atwater, you guys are actually telling me right now the Broncos are a quarterback away.
No.
I agree.
I think they're a quarterback and a left tackle.
Quarterback in at least in 2 to 3 linemen away, offensive linemen away.
What else?
And with that, our offensive line room can improve with the guys that we have.
Too. You think so?
Yes.
You think that group can win?
Well, I think we need to add one or two guys to it.
Yeah, you need to re-sign Connor, and then one more interior guy.
Were you ever benched as a player?
It's my last year. I mean, not benched in a game.
When you were young, were you ever benched? No. Okay. The best thing that ever happened to me was getting moved positions.
Did you get benched?
No, I'd say I got benched because they moved me from defense to offense. So, yeah, I got benched in the most. But it was a humbling experience. My point is this. I think that even if you want to keep 72 around, which I'm not against.
Come on, what you got against Gary Bowles?
I'm nothing personally against him other than he refuses to take advantage of the gift that has been given to him. The first round tackle for the Denver Broncos and the ability to put in the work to show Mr. Elway that you're worth re-signing and being a Ring of Famer. That's what, and I love this team, and I expect him to play at the same level I watched Zimmerman play at, and Tony Jones, and Ryan Clady, and Harris, and guys I played with, even Columbus. I mean, Columbus was a good player for him.
Don't you think he wants to play at that level too?
I think he does. I think people are trying to help him get there too, and he doesn't listen to anybody, and that's my point. It's when you're going full circle here on who they want to build around. If you want to keep Garrett here and you want to build around him, okay, I'm with that to a point. Mm-hmm. I want to see how he reacts when Juwan James is healthy and he gets benched. I want to see if he's going to pout or if he's going to perform.
Who can go to the race that day? Elijah,
just leave Elijah and see if Juwan can play left. And just look at it in the coaching room as a Garrett went down because he's never been benched. And he's, in my opinion, I think a lot of guys to the pine come back better.
Mind games, right?
No.
You need mind games with him because obviously he has blackmail on somebody over there.
Send him
to the bench and see if he comes back better. And if he does, then it worked. And if he doesn't, you know that he can't improve mentally and you got to go somewhere else.
You know what told me that any guy, no matter how much talent they have, no matter how big a prospect, big in your plans that they are, can get benched and learn from it? Von Miller, week 5, 2011.
That's
rookie
true.
Season. He's getting blown up against the run. He's not hustling. And so you come out for the second half and they're in base and he's not there. They used him as a sub-package guy for half of a game. Mm. And Von, you know what? Von's been one of the best run-defending edge guys in the league.
He's got to answer the question, too.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He learned from that.
It's no longer going to be presented after the game if it were to happen with Garrett, do you agree with the refs? It's Garrett, coaches put you on the bench today. How do you feel about it? Mm. And he's going to have to self-reflect and go, I've got to do more to get better. And that's all I'm looking for.
He's been doing it already, though.
I disagree.
After the game, when he had to hold the penalty, he didn't say he had to get better?
He was complaining
about
the calls.
He didn't. He complained about the calls and said that the refs have an agenda against him.
Yeah, he
did. I feel like the refs. Yeah, you know he did. See?
No, I listened to the whole
thing. But still.
Yeah, you're right. He did.
I was there. I'm sorry.
Garrett is his worker, and he is working to get better, though, man.
But I don't know.
No, look, he may be working to get better. But doing the same thing over and over again and thinking that you're doing something right is crazy.
And sometimes
it's insane. He needs to change the way he's doing things.
He's got to listen to game teaching.
No, that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything if he doesn't listen, Steve.
You don't think he listens?
No, I don't. I watched Munchak take Andrew Villanueva from a nothing tight end to an all-pro because he listened. And when I watch Garrett do the same thing over and over again, and then the feedback I get from the meeting room is they just laugh at it and move on because they can't get through to him, that's not good. That's not good. And what Vandio said last week when he said, you know, I think Garrett plays with a lot of confidence and some of it is unwarranted. And then the next question, it was, and,
It took him like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I timed it. It was 3.3 seconds. It reminded me of.
It's like he's trying to start a car.
Well, it was an old Lisa Simpson quote where Homer asks, am I a little bit fat? And there's a pause. And Lisa says, sorry, Dad, it takes time to properly sugarcoat a response.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's what it felt like.
So
he was trying to figure out what to say.
I also think when they got rid of Paxton, it set a tone in the room and he was too late. People were like, it's about time. I think that's going to be the same thing with Garrett. People are going to be in the room at Dove Valley. They're going to be like, well, that's about time. I think they missed their boat on setting the tone on what happens if you don't perform, period. But
answer this question, okay? Up to this point, what could they have done differently? Who you play?
This year?
Yeah.
Well, you can't Ben. They don't have him. Jawan got hurt.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with? I mean,
if Jawan James would have been healthy,
what's wrong with taking him out for a series?
I think Elijah would have been starting already if Jawan was healthy.
Yeah, I mean, even without Jawan. What would have been so bad about putting Jake Rogers in for a series?
Well, this is my point, is why does Garrett have this can't get benched because he works hard, it's okay.
Adam Gotsis got benched for much less than this.
I mean, everybody works hard.
Yeah.
Most guys in the NFL work hard. So if he's a hard worker and that's why we shouldn't bench him, that's not going to fly for me. It's not going to work. So I guess we'll see. But I do want them to re-sign 31. Yeah, everyone is making mistakes, but they're not getting 5 holding penalties. Steve, come on.
That was one game.
He led the league in holding penalties for like 3 years and in college.
He has 10 this year. Steve, he already has matched his career high for holding penalties in a season in 9 games.
This is true. This is true. All right. That is what it is.
But we are
so quick timeout. All right. I am Matt McChesney. That is the great Andrew Mason. That is the great Steve Atwater. Picks. Okay? We're not going to get you. Okay? For the rest of the year, you guys won't come in again. Unless you want to.
I'm always
Broncos
I'm always
have
interested.
What? 6 left?
Seven games left.
How do they finish? Are they 3-4, 4-3, 5-2? How do you see them finishing? How do you see their record at the end of the year? Are they a playoff team? Do they finish competitively with a lot of juice going into next?
3-4.
3-4.
With there are
finish 6-10.
There's a couple of heartbreakers, but I'm gonna say they got these 4 tough road games in the next 5 weeks: Minnesota, Buffalo, home for the Chargers, then at Houston, at Kansas City. They're gonna win one of those games, and that's going to be the game that at the end of the year we look at and say, "This is the first sign of a team
starting to come
coming
together.
Yep. And positioning themselves for 2020.
Andrew Mason. Steve Atwater, what do you think?
1, 2, 3.
You going to pick him 1-7?
I'm going to say 5. Say
5-2?
Yeah, 5-2.
And I agree with you. I think the Broncos finished 9-7 and are fighting for that 6th seed.
Well,
I would not.
5-2 is 8-8, though.
Okay, then I'm going to go 6-1. I'm going to go 6-1, and I know I'm a homer, and I know people are going to call me crazy, but I would not be surprised at all if they are playing the Raiders on the last day of the season in Empower.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you put red on the Broncos stadium, by the way? It's terrible.
Yeah, didn't we live through that with Sports
Awful.
Authority?
So I feel like they're going to play the Raiders and get a little payback that night on the last game of the season. Good?
Better. Yes,
like
sir.
That?
I
hope you're right, and I'm
Me
wrong.
Too, because that would really kick ass. All right, so like I said, go to thednvr.com. You can check out all the podcasts. Go to the top 6 and check out the film series that we put up each and every week. I'm actually going to show Steve one of the films right now because I want him to see what I'm talking about with Garrett Bowles. On the reel, I want to show you the angles and what I'm talking about. And then
see, I already watched it online, so I know.
Exactly, you already saw it. Nice, nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Episode 56 will be up next week. Hopefully, the Buffs get a W, and we can talk about that a little bit. And remember, next week, Inside the Zone podcast will be up with me and Mel Tucker and Mark Jackson. I'm Matt McChesney. Top Six is off next week because the Broncos are off. It's going to be a great weekend, though, folks. So stay safe. Have fun at homecoming. Andrew, thank you so much, brother. Pleasure. Mr. Steve Atwater.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Thank you so much, brother. This is episode 55. I'm Matt McChesney coming to you from 6-0 Studios here at 6-0 Strength. Thanks, folks.